Thanks for tuning in to the Hope Church podcast. We hope that you're blessed and encouraged to walk out the gospel as you listen to this message.
It's so good to see you this morning, everybody. Who's glad to be here today? Yeah. So glad. You're the wild ones. You're the crazy ones that showed up at church today, and I'm so glad you did. Just such an amazing time. Isn't there something so powerful about the church joining together to worship? To declare the greatness of God. It's so good. I could have sang the Garments of Praise tune about another hour or two, but the children's ministry would not appreciate that. But man, we're so glad you're here today. If you're visiting with us, I want to welcome you to Hope. Normally we have somebody come up and do this time and do the announcement loop, but today we're gonna miss all of that. And I'm just here gonna say, we're glad you're here if you're visiting. Can we give our visitors a hand, guys? Yeah, we would love to connect with you. If it is your first time and you'd like to connect with us, we'd invite you to grab that guest card, a visitor card right in the seat back in front of you, and just fill it out. You can drop it in the offering receptacles at the doors when you leave, or you could stop by the glass room, our guest connect room out in the foyer. There's a family of people out there would love to give you a treat and hang out with you and get to know you a bit, but we want to connect with you. So I encourage you to do that. As I mentioned a minute ago, we decided to take up the offering differently, which is actually something that a lot of churches do, have moved to having offering actual receptacle boxes where people can just drop off an offering whenever they want. Even in the middle of the singing time, it might be a moment where you want to bring that offering to the Lord and worship and drop it in there. We want to encourage you to do that. You can do that when we leave today, if you haven't already. Or as usual, you can give online at hopechurch.net. How y'all doing? So, what a week. It's been a week, right? We're going to have a little family talk here. How many like family talks? We love family talks in our house. My kids love to gather and listen to me preach to them. It's amazing. They just sit at my feet and just look up in adoration at me for the words of wisdom that will come from my mouth. It happens like never like that. But we're going to have a little family talk for a few minutes, and then Heath Adamson was actually scheduled to preach today, and so he's going to come and share for a bit, and then Pastor Gary and I and Heath, we're going to just pray at the end and bless you. But man, a few things have happened since the last time we met together. A lot's changed. It seems like in a lot of ways, things have changed kind of every day, haven't they? But there is one thing that has not changed, and that is Jesus. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he knew all about all of it, and he knows all about all of it, and he promised to be with us in it all. How many are thankful for that today? I am so thankful. And so I wanted to share a few things that the Lord just kind of put in my heart. I made some notes because I wanted to be really clear today. We've tried to really communicate with you all through this last week through the couple of videos we did and just the things that we put out there, because we think it's important that the church understands what's going on, right? And so this is what I want to say to us. The framework for really everything I want to say in the next few minutes is this, that we are in the world, but we are responding from a different world. We are in this world. We are citizens here, but we're also citizens of another world. And right now, in the midst of all of the effects of the coronavirus, we have this amazing moment that we find ourselves in to bring the kingdom of heaven here to earth, to Springfield, to our families, to the everyday things in life where people are freaked out. We get to bring the kingdom of God to those that are sick. We get to bring the kingdom of God to literally every single situation and person that we encounter if we are believers. Amen? Because as believers, we're kingdom people. Romans 14 says this. It says, righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's the kingdom of God. That's the kingdom of God. So we get to respond as kingdom people to all that we see and all that's going on through righteousness, through peace, and through joy, because that is what kingdom people do. In a moment like this that we are in, this is when I really believe, Charity alluded to it earlier, this is a moment when the church actually gets to shine really bright. The prayer of Jesus that we've already prayed today and that we talk about so often and pray so often here, our Father, when he prayed this, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, is still as much as ever a prayer for right here and for right now in this moment. Do you believe that? And we get the privilege of actually entering into that prayer and releasing that reality, the privilege of releasing heaven here on earth in the midst of all the fear and in the midst of all the freaking out and in the midst of all the turmoil and all the fallout, we get to bring peace. Have you ever seen somebody that carries peace? Have you ever seen somebody that just carries joy? Have you ever just walked in a room and you're like, man, that person carries peace? I love people like that. You can be my friend if that's you. Like, for real. Like, that is who we get to be. In this moment, people are scared, people are afraid, and they're looking for leadership. People are looking for those that are carrying peace, and they don't even know that they're looking for it, but they're looking for the ones that peace rests on. They're looking for the ones that joy rests on. And the kingdom rests on. And I just want to briefly talk about a few ways that I believe that are really specific and really powerful for us right now. Ways in which we get to bring the kingdom in this moment that we find ourselves, okay? The first one is this. I talked about this in the little video if you watched it. That we get to refuse to partner with fear. And it doesn't mean that we aren't afraid in moments. It doesn't mean that we don't ever have a fear or a concern. It means that when we do, that we refuse to partner with it. It means that when we do, we're going to refuse to join with it. We're going to refuse to let it build up a stronghold in our mind, that we're going to replace it with truth, right? That in those moments when things come in, we're going to refuse to let fear be a part of who we are and refuse to be manipulated and moved by fear. Fear can be very manipulating, and it can be very subtle, and we're going to be those that have our eyes open to the reality of heaven in the midst of all that we see, and we're going to say, you know what, we aren't going to partner with that. When I have fear, I'm going to turn that around, and I'm going to replace it with what he says is mine. Psalm 27 is one of my very favorite psalms as I was a kid. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And that's the truth. Do you believe it today? It really is. We've not been given the spirit of fear, but a power and of love and a sound mind. You probably heard that 1,000 times this week, but it's true. We will not be held in slavery to fear or the corona or the flu, or any of it. Because as sons and daughters of the living God, as kingdom people, we are moved by one thing, and that's his face and what his word says. The second thing I wanted to encourage us today, that in the way that we get to bring the reality of heaven to earth, is that we're going to be people of prayer in the midst of where we find ourselves. Philippians 4:6-7 says this. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What a verse, right? What a verse for right now. This is an incredible moment for us, that where we get to grow in turning our anxiousness and turning our worries into prayer and petition. That in the moment when, have you experienced any of it at all? I mean, I don't personally fear this virus for myself or my family, really, just because it would be like kind of anything else as I understand it. But there's a lot of big decisions that are going on. And there have been some moments where I have kind of had that moment of like, man, I'm anxious, I'm concerned. And you know what I'm learning to do quicker and quicker? Go to prayer. I'm learning to just turn it right there in that moment. It isn't that it's wrong that I have an anxious thought or I have an anxious moment. What defines it is what I do with that moment. And so I'm learning that as these things come up, that I'm learning, I'm just going and talking to my Father about it. I'm just bringing it to him in language. It's not like I have to go and shut the door all the time and go in a corner on my knees. It's like in the midst of real life, I'm like turning my thoughts and my concerns into prayer in that moment. And I'm wrapping it up with thanksgiving. And I got to tell you, it's really true. I find that the peace of God guards my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. We are to be people of prayer in this moment. The third thing is that we get to bring the kingdom. We get to represent Jesus in how we respond to what the governing authorities have asked of us. Romans 13, verse 1. I hadn't read this one in a while, and it just was like coming to life to me, especially in the moment that we find ourselves in. It says this: let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. That's an intense word. That's an intense word. As most of you heard this past Friday, that our mayor and the Greene County Health Department have asked at this point voluntarily that we limit our gatherings to 250 people or less. And the big picture reason for this is that they're trying to stop the big spike of this virus, because if it spikes real big in an area, for those most in this room wouldn't be really too bothered by this virus, but for those that have a predisposition or are in that high risk category, for those people that virus could really put them in the hospital, and then the healthcare system's overwhelmed. Do you understand this? Yeah, this is why. So what I love about my conversation this last week that I had, it was so good. I talked directly with the director, and I got to tell you, we've got an amazing like health and human services director, because in our conversation, he was doing this for me. He wasn't doing this. He was trying to help us. He was not trying to control us. He's a believer. We had a wonderful conversation, and he has an incredible heart to serve and to support us and protect us. And I let him know that we have been praying for our city for a long time before this virus came around, and that we would continue to pray for him and to pray for the leadership of our city. And I also told him that as a church, we wanted to support and help our local leadership in any way that we could. Our church, you know, we're not just here to kind of do our own thing. We're here to support the leadership that God has put in place over our city. Do you believe that? This is one way that we bring the influence of the kingdom of God here, by supporting and by praying for our governing authorities, but also by honoring their requests. Their concern, like I mentioned, why they've requested not meeting in large groups is to avoid this huge surge of the spread of the virus, because though many of us, it would be like a cold or a flu, there's a large demographic, like I said, that would have serious effects and would cause hospitals and healthcare to be overrun. And not only, you know, have that capacity to be able to save the lives of people in those serious situations. Does that make sense? So they want to keep back that widespread surge and spike. So at this point for us, what does that mean for us as a church? At this point, we have not made a decision on what this next Sunday is going to look like. As we know more in the next few days, we're going to communicate with you on the specifics of how we're going to move forward, whether we're going to physically meet together on property or if we'll live stream. Now, some of you may not understand that term live stream. I assume most of you do, but I'll just say it to you like this. Like, live streaming is like the worship team, like this morning, would meet in this room myself or whoever speaking that day would actually preach a message, and we'd have a small group of people here, and we'd go for Jesus. And then you'd be at home, and you would get to watch it on your laptop and go for Jesus in probably wilder ways than you would in this room. Like, I mean, if Charity was doing that song, let's be honest, you'd probably get a little rowdy in your house. I'm imagining you would a little more, yeah? So that's one way that we potentially could gather, and we're preparing for that over the next days. But we don't have all that determined yet because things are changing so quickly. But I want to assure you this, that this decision and the next steps that we make will come through lots of prayer. It will come through wise counsel, and it will also come through honoring our local authorities that God has given us. And I got to tell you, our church is blessed with incredible godly physicians, like spirit-filled, faithful physicians. I have been overwhelmed by the leadership that's rose up in this time that's in our church. We have just got an amazing leadership here at Hope. So at this point, we're planning to go ahead for this Wednesday night with dinner and worship and with our equip nights. But when we do gather, the CDC and the Greene County Health Department are recommending that those that are over 65 and those with chronic health conditions or weakened immune systems not attend church services. As a church, we will never mandate this to you, okay? We had some people thinking that we said you could not come if you were over 60. Well, Pastor Gary wouldn't have been able to show up. He's got wisdom, guys. And we're not doing that, but we feel that it is our responsibility to let you know what the recommendation is, right? It is our responsibility to do that. So I believe that that's a every person decision, but we want you to be informed on their recommendations. That's what leadership does, right? That's what pastors do. That's what shepherds do. We want to let you know that and inform you about all that's going on. So I do want to say that if you're in this demographic group and you're not attending services and you want prayer, church, we will send pastors and we will send ministry teams to your house to pray for you, okay? We will send them to you. We've got a wild, rowdy group of people. I'm not afraid to come as well. I would walk in a room with whatever because I know Jesus is with me. But my responsibility as I shepherd hundreds and a thousand people and beyond that is a different thing when we gather. Does that make sense? But we're growing a group of people that are full of belief and faith, not afraid to walk into dangerous situations to bring the kingdom of heaven. And so if you're in one of those groups and you feel like you can't come here, but you need prayer, we will come to your house and pray for the sick. This virus does not stop that. Amen? So hear this too. This is really important that no matter what happens in the next weeks, even if we are not able to physically meet together for a while, whether we meet on this property or we gather in homes or online, I want you to know this. We are not closing down. Okay? We are not closing down. We will never close down. In fact, I believe that we are going to be actually more open than ever. For real. I believe we're going to be more open than ever because the church is not a building. The church is not a building. You are the church. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and you will be open to release hope wherever you go. And that's the truth. This may be the Lord breaking us out of something for a little bit so that we can expand who we are in the kingdom. God uses everything for good, right? So it's not the end if it's not good. And I believe he's going to use all of this. I do not believe God caused the coronavirus. I believe the Lord absolutely will use it. And there will be a thrust and momentum for the church to expand and increase. And we get to be a part of that right now. So we're going to be open. We're not closing. We started praying and opening our arms in a greater measure last June. We fasted and prayed this year. And church, here's what I want to tell you. Whether you realize it or not, we have been preparing for this moment. We didn't know this moment was coming, but I'm telling you, we have been preparing for this moment to walk in the Jesus way, to learn and grow in releasing the kingdom. It's what these equip classes have been about. We've been preparing and equipping ourselves to find ourselves in the moment that we find ourselves. That's a good word, Josh. Yes, it is. Amen. So the last thing is this, before heat's going to come, and he should come soon so that I know I need to stop. Here's the fourth way. Here's the fourth way that his kingdom comes through us. And Pastor Gary and I were talking about this yesterday. Matthew 7 says this: so whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. So here's the thing, church. This virus can't define us, but how we will respond to it will. How we respond in this moment will. I just think we need to follow the golden rule that whatever you wish that somebody would do to you, do it to them. How about instead of hoarding toilet paper, that you offer a roll or two to somebody? I mean, come on, the kingdom will advance. I mean, you know, whoever thought that we would be like talking like this, right? But seriously, like, what if we thought about all those rolls that you go and buy, if you actually thought in your mind as you're buying it, like, I want to get an extra pack for somebody. I literally heard some people that weren't, I offered toilet paper, and I live in a house of four girls, so we need it. My wife told me no, but I said yes. I'm just kidding. She wanted to offer it too, but seriously, like, that's how kingdom people think nowadays. Right? Like, I'm not just buying toilet paper for me, I'm buying it in case somebody else needs it. Like I've heard grocery shelves are really getting bare. Let's make sure that others have food. Some people are being impacted financially. Like, let's find out. Let's help them. Let's check on the elderly, how we can serve them. There's some elderly people that really should not be out right now going shopping in stores. What if we reached out and said, hey, we want to help you and run some errands or get your groceries? Church, that's bringing the kingdom of God. Let's bring in the kingdom of God. Let's take care of the widows. Let's check on the vulnerable. Let's really do this. Let's reach out and care for those around us. Let's not just think about ourselves in this time. That's what the world does, but the church doesn't just think of ourselves. We're thinking about others. In the midst of preparing for our own families and what we need, we're also thinking about what others need. Check on your neighbors, even if you've never met them and you've lived there 20 years. You know that awkward moment, like we've lived here too long to even talk? You know, we've lived next to each other, and this is an amazing moment to go knock on the door and be like, hey, you guys doing okay? Some of you look mad at me right now. Stop it. Like, I know this is family talk, right? Like, I encourage you to do it. Like, check on your neighbors. That could be the door that opens for you to release the love and the goodness of Jesus. That's what happens in a time like this. There are people that are afraid that need the peace that you have. Some people are going to just need to know that it's going to be okay. And you're going to say those words, and guys, it's going to be the kingdom coming on that person. I encourage you to gather in your homes. Regardless of what happens, worship, read the Bible, break bread together. Regardless of how this looks with our large group gatherings, we will need each other. We will need each other. For whether this thing stops today because of our prayers, and I fully believe it could. I fully believe it. Or this goes on for a longer time than we would like or hope for. I don't know. I cannot tell that. That isn't a lack of faith. I believe that our prayer shifted things this morning. Do you believe that? I do. Regardless of what happens in the next weeks, we will need each other. And then my wife told me to say this: take care of yourselves. Take care of your families. Take your vitamins. Just like your mom told you, eat good foods. Yes, thank you, Casey. Plenty of sleep, rest, and here's the one you've heard a bit. Wash your hands a lot. The health director, as funny as it sounds, he told me, would you please tell your congregation to wash their hands? So I'm doing it. I'm coming under the authorities. Wash your hands a lot. Church, humor is important, isn't it? How many like humor? I love humor. I'm truly thankful for all the memes and all the GIFs and all the, I mean, honestly, it's been amazing, hasn't it? One of my favorites is the cruise ship, and then it's like, buy 1 week, get 2 weeks for free. I love that one. And then it's like, get this, did you see it's like promo code Corona? I'm like, I'm all about it. Let's go. I love it. I've like laughed. This is my all-time favorite thing I heard. Some people aren't shaking hands because of the coronavirus. I'm not shaking hands because everyone's out of toilet paper. Heath, really, you need to come. For real. Just two more things, and him standing here will help me finish. But here's the thing. I want to say this too. Let's keep putting him first in our giving financially. Let's keep doing that. This is not a time to shrink back in our giving. This is a time to trust God with our finances, unlike any other time. This is a time for generosity. There's going to be needs and things that come up, and we're going to be able to like release the kingdom finances from this house. In fact, maybe if you've never trusted the Lord through tithes and offerings, this would be an amazing time to begin to give. Amen? You can give in those offering receptacles as you leave. Receptacle, that's such an official word. I need to make up a different word for them. Whatever those boxes are, you can do it there. You can do it online. A lot of people do it online at hopechurch.net. I encourage you. It's an easy way to give whenever you want. And here's the last thing I want to say. Let's resist the temptation to criticize one another. Let's resist the temptation to be critical of each other. And let's resist the temptation to throw stones at government leaders. That's not going to be helpful at all right now. It's just not. Let's show the world who he is. I believe this is one of the most powerful moments that maybe we've ever seen in our lifetime to release the kingdom. I heard a government official say this is a 1-in-100-year event. And he was referring to the seriousness of it. I want to suggest to us today that this could be a 1-in-100-year event for the church to rise up and release the hope and the goodness of Jesus. Come on, let's give him a shout of praise for that.
Pastor Josh, thank you. Thanks for pastoring us so well. Amen? That's good stuff. How many of you know now is the time for the church not to be known for what we are against? Now is the time for us to be known as being the most supportive, engaged, submissive citizens, right? Okay, so let's transition. So how do you segue? First of all, thanks for all the texts and all the TP jokes this week, Pastor. I appreciate it. How did this start, right? Like, how did the whole corona apocalypse is happening, the world is coming to an end? If anybody here likes to fund research, I'm convinced we could get to the bottom of it. It probably started in some staff meeting where the phone goes off. Hang on, boss. This is my spouse. I need to take it. Honey, yes? Are you serious? No, I haven't been watching the news. I haven't read the paper for a few days. What are you talking about? A global pandemic? A global pandemic is sweeping across the earth. They're suggesting that we don't gather in public places. Yes? Yeah, I remember as a child, I was told, in order to survive as a human being, we need water, we need food, oxygen, shelter. But sweetie, the last thing that's going to happen to our family when corona apocalypse hits is that we're going to have poor hygiene related to our gastrointestinal system. So make sure you go to Sam's, go to Costco, and stock up on TP. I want to publicly apologize to the world on behalf of America because somehow toilet paper has fallen into the category of what we need to survive, right? It exposes things, doesn't it? It exposes things. So I had no idea that corona apocalypse was somehow causing a shortage of TP. So I'm having coffee on Thursday with a very dear friend, and I get a text, hey, we're out of toilet paper, stop on your way home. But don't go to Target, they're out. Target's out of toilet paper, okay. So I go to Lowe's, they're out. I asked the lady at the front, I said, I'm just curious, you guys are out of toilet paper? Yeah, we're completely out. Why? It's because of that virus. And this is what she said to me, as God is my witness. We don't need toilet paper anyway. That's why we take showers. So I looked at her at the door, and I'm just like, when I get nervous, I say stupid things. I froze. I just turned around and walked away. I go to Home Depot. I ask as soon as I walk in, where are you? Do you have any toilet? Nope, we're completely out of toilet paper. Okay. I go to Walmart. They're out. I go to Staples. I'm thinking, they sell copy paper? Maybe. I go to Staples. They're out. Lo and behold, though, they do sell toilet paper just in case, right? But they're out. So anyway, on Thursday night as a family, after we eat, we go on a search because you need toilet paper. And we found some. And we found some in a couple spots. And no, I'm not selling it for $1,000 a roll. I'll give you a couple rolls if you need them. But it's interesting, on Thursday night, we went on a search because something was actually, believe it or not, important. You run out of toilet paper, do you need it to survive? No, but it's certainly convenient to have if you're going to continue living. So we went on a search for toilet paper on Thursday. You know, it's amazing what we go searching for. When I was a kid, I spent my time playing basketball. I liked playing basketball. I liked riding my skateboard, went on long bike rides. I was home alone a lot as a kid, so I just, when I ran out of skateboarding and Nintendo games and basketball games, and I became bored, I tried to find something to spend my time on. And when you're a little boy and you're out of things to do, how many of you know you get creative? And so I remember one time I said to my friend, hey, I have an idea. So I picked up my fishing pole. As a kid, we did a lot of fishing. I picked up my fishing pole. I put a few sinkers towards the hook. And I had this $20 bill that looked like real money, but it wasn't. And I decided to tape the $20 bill to the hook. And we walked across the field, and there was this huge, massive pile of bushes by one of the stoplights in our neighborhood. And we hid behind the bushes, and I remember throwing it just right, and it landed on the sidewalk. Reel it in a little bit, wait for a few cars to go by, and then you sit in the bushes and you wait. It's amazing what people will do when they think there's a 20 on the sidewalk. Some people roll down the window and look, and then they keep on driving, but some people get out of the car. And I remember one day this guy, with all these cars behind him, puts the car in park, turns on the hazard lights. He gets out. He's wearing his dress slacks and his dress shirt. It was a warm day. By the time he got to the sidewalk, I could already see the beads of sweat on his forehead. And when he went down to pick up the money, you reel it in. And you would think he would see the fishing line, but he didn't. And that's what made it really special. And so he follows the $20 bill down the sidewalk, and every time he reaches down to pick it up, I reel it in a little bit. We're laughing our heads off, having the time of our life. And literally, this guy is chasing the 20. I'm sure he thought the wind is blowing it, right? He's chasing the 20 down the sidewalk as I'm reeling it in. And I didn't even stop to think that as I reel in the money, he's coming directly towards me. So before you know it, we are face to face, and the only thing in between us is a set of bushes. This man was so angry. He said some words to me I had never heard before. And I tried those words out at home. And that's when my mom washed my mouth out with Ivory soap. Yes, I've had more than one brand of soap in my mouth, and Ivory always stung the worst. It's amazing what people chase, especially when they think it has value. And what I want to talk to you about just briefly is there is one pursuit, one chase, that no matter how you feel, no matter what you think, there is always one chase that you'll never regret. And it's Matthew 6:33. And I'll just quote it to you. It's perhaps a verse maybe you've heard before. If you've never heard it, that's okay. We all start somewhere. But it says, seek first the kingdom of God, and all of these things will be added to you. It does not say seek only. It says seek first. There are many things that are okay to seek. It is okay to seek a better connection with your spouse if you're married. It is okay to seek wisdom to raise your children if you have kids. It is okay to seek wise counsel so that you can steward your finances, so that you don't have to struggle financially, so that you can be a blessing to other people. It's okay to seek wisdom when you make major decisions that could literally alter the course or trajectory of your life. There are many things that are okay to seek, but we are to seek first the kingdom. That word seek is interesting. That word seek means to seek in such a way that finding is required. So when you seek the kingdom, it's not like, I wonder where the kingdom is. It's more, is it there? Is it there? Seeking is not walking out. This word, zeto, is not walking out and looking like this. It is slowing down and fixing your gaze. It is letting your eyes lock in on an area so that you can really see what's there. To seek in such a way that finding is required. Now, you may ask, why wouldn't God just give us the kingdom? Why do we have to seek? Well, God has given us the kingdom. And he's given us the kingdom in our seeking. Our pursuit reveals what we prioritize, right? Like last Thursday, when we needed, legitimately, as a family, we were out of toilet paper. I didn't just go to one store and say, "Oh, forget this." We went to 7 total stores to find toilet paper because we needed something. And when you need something, you seek it until you find it. Right? And we live in an age where we have access to so much information and opportunity. This is so much bigger than the coronavirus. You have access to so much information. How many of you know it is easy to Google before we pray? We can actually amass information to where what we think we know replaces simple obedience. And because we have access to so much information, it requires us to have enough wisdom to just sometimes slow down and pause and remain undecided. Because we can confuse our goals and our dreams with God's purpose. We have access to a lot of information. And in order to reconcile that in my own life, what I do, part of what I do to seek the kingdom first, is when I wake up in the morning and I spend time with Jesus, I sit down in my chair. I've learned not to touch my phone before I open up my Bible. I've learned that if I open up my email, I receive hundreds of emails a day just because of what I do for a team. So I have 180 employees that I'm responsible to serve, and I get a lot of email. And if I open up my email first, it's over. So I've learned part of my seeking first is before I even open up my email, before I even look at my phone to see what team members have sent me a text over the night, I will open up my word. That's a practical example of what seeking the kingdom first means. Are you with me? We have access to so much information, but we also have access to a lot of opportunity. And opportunities, I would suggest, are highly seductive. Because opportunities can cause us to be successful at what doesn't even matter in the end. God has already given us the kingdom, but he has given us his kingdom in the search, in the seeking. Because I would suggest the kingdom is the search. The kingdom is the search. And every place the sole of our foot treads, the Bible says he's already given. So the kingdom is inherited as we walk. Inheriting the kingdom isn't, oh, I finally got there and now I get to keep it. No, inheriting the kingdom is as we walk. So why wouldn't God just say, here? Why would God say, seek first? And I had a memory during worship in the second service, I'll share it with you, that I believe perfectly describes why perhaps God asks us to seek first Not only, but first, the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? It is the heart, the priorities of God. When our girls were a lot younger, Friday was my day. This is when Allie still worked in the corporate world. And Friday was my day off. Allie went to the office and worked. And so I was home with the girls. And we went through a phase where we played a lot of hide and seek. And as a dad, when I played hide and seek with the girls, I could have won every time. How many of you know, I knew where the fold-out ladder was to the attic, right? If I wanted to, because there's no way they could have reached the string with the little thing on it, I could have easily climbed up into the attic, closed the door, and just sat up there for 10 hours, relishing in my amazing prowess when it comes to hide-and-seek, right? Like they're four. Like, come on, girls, get with the program. I could have done that. I could have thought, man, look at how intelligent I am. I'm blowing their minds. And I didn't do that. And the reason why is because I loved playing hide and seek with them because I loved their giggle. And whenever we would play, and I guarantee you did this too, I know we never read a book on how to play hide and seek, but we all play it the same with the little ones, don't we? When you crawl underneath their bed, you always let your leg hang out a little bit. Right? And you hear their feet. They come up the steps, and they come around the corner, and there I am in Dallin's room. And here are the girls, and you hear their giggles. I see him. There's Dad. Right? Because what's really fun about playing hide-and-seek is being found. It's my favorite part, the giggle. And what if God says, seek first the kingdom? Not because he's inaccessible, and it's not because he likes to say, see, look at them. Look at how they strive and try hard. They still can't find me. No, what if it's he likes to hear our giggle? What if it's seek first the kingdom, and every time you seek, you always find? Right? So, if we seek first anything other than the kingdom, at the end of our life, we'll find ourselves regretting the fact that we spent an awful lot of energy and resource and time and heart share chasing something down the sidewalk that has no value. Right? So, Lord, thank you for the invitation. So our answer is yes. We will always seek first the kingdom and your righteousness, knowing full well that all of these things will be added. Thank you. Pastor?
So good, right? So good. Would you stand with us this morning? I asked Pastor Gary to come and our founding pastor, who is, man, I'm so thankful for the wisdom, and I'm just thankful for this man, aren't you? Yeah, we could give him a round of applause right there. Yeah, I asked him to just share for a minute or two, and then just have him pray over us before we leave this morning.
So thankful for what's been shared with us here today. This is family stuff, and this is kingdom stuff, and I just wanted to bring a little context. There's not a lot of things about growing older that I'm proud of. They're not fun. But you know, one thing that I'm glad for is perspective. You know, we're talking about this virus and this pandemic and all that. Can I just give you a word today? This isn't the first time this has happened. In fact, since 2004, it's happened 8 times. A lot worse than this. 8 times we could have been having this discussion. 8 times, corresponding roughly to each election cycle, we've had this kind of thing come upon us. But this time is different. Not probably because of the disease itself, but because of what's being done with it. Panic has spread. We've exported panic all over. And the fact of the matter is that God is still on his throne. None of this surprised him. And it's going to be okay. But let me just say this. I think God uses these strategic moments. I know he does. I think back to Egypt when God was ready to bring great deliverance to his people. That was predicated by 10 plagues upon the nation that they served. The house of the Israelites was full of blessing and light and provision, and the house of the Egyptians was full of darkness and plague. Every day the Israelites would go from their house, which was blessed, out into a world that wasn't. And they would bring a little bit of encouragement, maybe. In fact, when they left Egypt, many people came with them. I feel like we need to understand that God uses these kind of moments for his purposes. Because it unearths some things in people that God wants to minister to. Be aware of that when you leave your house. When you leave here today, some of you will be in restaurants. Bring a little bit of that joy. Bring a little bit of that light. Light always conquers darkness, friends. It always, always does, and always, always will. In fact, in the early church, when God was doing the most amazing revival was coming upon the earth that the earth would ever have until this one that's coming. And in that moment, the church was blessed. Healings and miracles were happening. And Jesus had said, "Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel." And they stayed in Jerusalem. And then persecution came. And they were forced out. And they moved to the ends of the Roman Empire and brought the gospel everywhere they went. This morning in the first hour, God gave me a vision in my mind's eye. I saw this, and it was just so powerful to me. And it was a French press. How many of you know what a French press is? It's not the media in France, by the way. What it is a coffee making apparatus, and you press that piston down, and it forces that hot water through that coffee, and it makes it quickly, and it makes it very, very well. And that's what I sense God was doing. He's pressing us out of our habitual life. We think everything of the kingdom happens in this room, but let me just tell you, it does happen in this room, and it does happen in our homes, but it needs to happen a lot of places. And I feel God's hand just pressing down and forcing us to do some things we've never done before that may look a whole lot like the early church. What you've got is good stuff. What you've got is good stuff. Don't let the world tell you it's not appropriate for this moment. If we were being rebellious today, I'd have you hold hands with that person next to you. We're not going to do that. If you really want to get chummy, just hit them with your elbow real quick and just let them know you're there. Because God's about to release an army of people, not just here. We're one part of this great, massive army of God that's carrying the kingdom with us everywhere we go. How about today we, in this moment, respond to our president's request again? And let it be not just a moment today. How about a month of prayer? Let it be a life of prayer. And let's pray together.